Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line from Israel for the Israel Report this morning, Rolene Marks. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. And you? What a week it has been, Howard.
Relentless is what the week has been. Absolutely relentless. And yesterday in particular, with the passing of locally here of Jackson Tembu, the terrible Netcare accident where people were just doing what they do to save other people's lives and unfortunately sacrificed their own. It's just been an incredibly, incredibly difficult week, which makes Shabbat all the more important and something to look forward to. How's it been in Israel this week?
It has been quite an intense week here as well, both on so because we've been watching the events in Washington as we have an administration change and all the predictions and all the opining that comes out of that. And it's been very interesting for me to look at some of the opinions I see on various platforms coming in from South Africa and what they're predicting a Biden administration to be. So I don't know where you want to start. Should we start at the very beginning?
Let's start at the very, well, let's start with the vaccines because COVID, of course, is on all of our minds. Is it true that, that you faced your fear of needles this week? Oh, Rolene, wait, Rolene, the line is coming and going for some reason. Okay, let's try that again.
I will be facing my big fear of needles this week because I have finally been deemed a big girl that can go and have her vaccine. So I will be spending Shabbat self-hypnotizing myself not to be scared of needles. But to date, we have vaccinated well over 3 million of our citizens. And I must say, it was quite an emotional moment for me to book my vaccine, even though I haven't had it yet. Just the thought that there's some kind of positive indication that, you know, the end could be in sight is something quite incredible.
It is. It's an amazing thing. And especially when you look at where other people are and other countries are, we're still trying to figure out what's going on here, all whilst Israel has vaccinated such an incredible amount of the population. And then I saw an article saying people are jumping the lines. But you know, that ordered complete chaos is it's what defines Israel as a country, doesn't it?
Well, I must say that, you know, everybody who I've spoken to and all the coverage I've seen and my experience with the Kopat Cholim, which is the medical provider, is they're quite strict with the procedure. You have an allocated time. You essentially don't get to jump the line because, you know, these things are intricate. You know, it was quite funny because my hubby's a few years older than me, but not by much, only by 5 years. And you know, his was opened up earlier this week and he managed to book and I phoned up and I said, can I book? And they said, well, you know, you're not the allocated age yet. And I thought, but I only have 2 months to go. But you know, they were really, really strict with how this goes and very, very efficient. The minute I booked my first appointment, I got my second appointment as well. They asked all the relevant questions and I'm very excited to report next Friday on how it went and how I'm feeling. And one thing we are seeing is the amount of skepticism and fear around the vaccine dissipating quite quickly.
Well, that is good
the
news.
The majority
because,
of people, yeah, not the whole of society, though.
Yes. Okay. So let's just talk about the various areas and the various groups, because there's been a lot of talk as well around the Haredi communities. What is going on within that community, which is the ultra-Orthodox community in Israel?
Well, I'm going to be honest. It's becoming a very, very frustrating situation. Yesterday, there was quite an incredible article in the Times of Israel, incredible in the fact that it's somebody from the Haredi community, somebody extremely well known and respected, coming out in quite harsh criticism. Yehuda Meshi Zahav, he is the founder of Zaka. You will be very familiar with
of
Zaka.
Course,
you have Zaka in South Africa. He lost his mother to COVID-19 this week. He said because the Rabbonim did not put an end to weddings and mass gatherings, and they flouted the lockdown laws, and as a result, he has lost somebody extremely precious to him, his mother. And he actually said, he said, "You have blood on your hands." And last night we had further clashes. A policeman was injured in clashes between police trying to break up mass gatherings of Haredim, who in turn got violent. And the Prime Minister this morning has threatened action. He says, you know, enough is enough. We cannot go on like this because we still have the very, very high infection rates. And it's estimated that at least a quarter of these infections are coming from these communities who are not respecting the lockdown laws and also not going out to get vaccinated. So it is becoming a huge problem. And while I hate to focus on one group or one specific area of society, unfortunately, it is becoming a massive issue here.
Do you think, and I was having this conversation with a friend yesterday, do you think that we got into a discussion around how South Africans perceive the Jewish community, the religious parts of the Jewish community, secular parts of the Jewish community. And a comment that this friend of mine made to me was secular Jews can have a party and things go wrong. And yes, we speak about it, but we don't really judge and become, really upset with it. But within the religious community, something like that happens, we react quite strongly. I don't know that that's correct or not, number one. And number two, I do think that it sounds odd, but I do think that religious Jews should be held to a higher standard. But that's my own view of it. Do you think there's fair treatment in the press in Israel around various communities and behavior?
Well, I don't think it's fair. I do think that there is a propensity to focus more attention from a negative perspective on the Haredi community. I'm going to be very honest, because we have had secular ministers breaking and flouting the coronavirus lockdown laws, and they get a mere mention and maybe a slap on the wrist, and that's not good enough. You know, many of us are sacrificing seeing our families and our friends and leaving our homes because we want to protect our fellow citizen. And when it when these laws are so flouted by members of the secular community, it's almost like, you know, that's expected of them, you know, typical. And all the attention goes on the Haredi community. That being said, a year into this pandemic, we cannot still be having mass weddings, mass gatherings, and yeshivot being opened at a time when we are being asked, please not to do that for the safety of our citizens.
Absolutely. And the proof of it is in the numbers, isn't it? Because we are seeing in Israel a significantly higher infection rate in the Haredi community.
Well, this is it. I mean, yesterday the health ministry said that our transmission rate is slowly starting to come down, not fast enough as they would like, and they put this to the British variant. No offense to any British people out there are listening, but according to the statistics that they are getting, that's what they put it to. And they also say, you know, we would be in a better place if we didn't have yeshivot with 10,000. Students put in danger opened, and we wouldn't be in this position when there aren't these weddings being celebrated and these mass gatherings. Twice this week, the police have been called in to break up big weddings, one in Ashkelon, and that turned violent. 17 people were arrested. And, you know, it's unnecessary. Just listen to the law. But there's also a huge element of distrust between the Haredi community and the government. And, you know, we have to ask the question, is the government doing enough to gain the trust of this community? And I know some people might be saying yes, but, you know, they're represented in government, you know, they have political representation. But, you know, where is that link being broken? You know, where is it going wrong that we don't have the trust and we don't have the political representation working with religious leaders to say this is a life or death situation?
It's actually such an important question, because what we're looking at is the result of everything that has gone wrong, as you say, in communication, in trust, in building up relationships between various sectors of Israeli society, perhaps political society, where maybe that's where it starts. But there's almost this need to reverse back in order to say, right, clearly something is wrong. We've been through a national crisis, and we're going through a national crisis, and we're not all on the same page. How do we fix that? And what is the reason? The problem is it requires objectivity, honest introspection, on all sides in order to be able to do that. You know, I find that the world that we're living in, and I know that sounds so glib, but we spend so much time looking at behavior of others, and judging the behavior of others and how they've reacted to perhaps something even that we've done or as a society, that we don't actually look at our own behavior. It's all external, not internal. And I guess if this is going to be fixed in Israel, that's what's required, surely.
That's a very, very interesting point, because we are also on the eve of yet another election.
Mm.
So it has to ask the question, how much of this is electioneering that you don't want to take a harsh stand, and how much of this is you really don't want to take a long, hard look at what has gone wrong, look at yourselves and look at where we can improve the relationship and the communication.
Very, very important conversation. I'm just looking at some of the messages. Hi, Howard, can you tell me what the population of Israel is? Also, does secular mean non-religious? Yes, when we refer to secular in Israel, we mean non-religious. But you must understand that there's this whole it's a sliding scale. So you have people that have absolutely no connection to religion, and then a sliding scale all the way until, let's say, the ultra orthodox, where and really what we're talking about is perhaps some of these areas, not necessarily all of them. Raleen, before I let you go, can you just tell us very quickly about Israel, the foreign policy with regard to Biden? Of course, it's been a big week for Israel, and Israel, we can see, is watching quite carefully as to what messages are being sent by the new Biden administration.
Well, I think we have to be very careful to remember that Biden is not Obama and he's not Trump. And I know many people are panicking because they think that because Biden served as vice president to Obama and the administration was not so friendly to Israel, we're going to have a replay of that. And, you know, listening to people like Michael Oren, who was Israel's ambassador to the United States, who served during the time of the Obama administration, and who has very, very famously said that the only point of reference or person who would speak to him and engage with him was Joe Biden. And I think we have to be very careful not to judge Joe Biden by the Obama administration. And we have had a little bit of indication about where their foreign policy is holding this week. Secretary of State Antony Blinken coming out saying that while they will be looking for a longer, stronger Iran deal, they're not going to do it without first consulting with allied friends, including Israel. He also went out on record to say that the American embassy will remain in Jerusalem. There are no plans to move that. They are backing a two-state solution. That is not a change in policy. That is not anything new. The Trump administration also backed a two-state solution. And, of course, we had the little glitch on Twitter where the U.S. ambassador to Israel's handle was ambassador to Israel, the West Bank and Gaza, and there was mass panic, people thinking, what kind of policy change is this? It was a glitch. It was put back to U.S. ambassador to Israel, and people can breathe a sigh of relief. Having said that, there is a possibility of the U.S. opening up a consulate in East Jerusalem for the Palestinians. This also isn't a major policy departure. So I think keep an open mind. And just remember, we're dealing with a President Biden and not a President Obama.
I think that is a very, very important point indeed. Rolien Marks, thank you as always. Have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat Shalom. And I hope that this whole self-hypnosis thing is very successful.
I keep wanting to meow, Howard. I just don't understand where that's coming from.
Well, then you've got some work to do.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.